This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, second hour here, Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. Of course, this hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. A bunch of things going on. Mariners off tonight, but get ready to see two of their big rivals battling, Oakland and Houston, four-game series. M's have a six-and-a-half game lead on Oakland. They are three-and-a-half games behind Houston for the division title. And so I ask you today, Brock.
Yes.
How do you want to see that series go down? And I ask you, and I ask the people, 206-421-3776, because I think it's instructive into either how you feel about the Mariners, how you feel about the A's and Astros, or possibly just how you choose to live your life in general.
I'm really glad that I've had about an hour and a half to think about
it. It's a hard question.
It is, and I wonder if some of you who just heard it moments ago or at the very end of that last segment are still sitting there on the fence thinking, gosh, Mike, I don't really know. And you're right. This says more than just these four games. It kind of spins it back on me.
And what do I
think of this team? Or what do I think of their direction?
Oh, yeah.
And am I really willing to put my wallet where, or my mouth, or whatever that stupid phrase is, right? My money where my mouth is. There you go. Am I really willing to do it? Yes, I am. An hour and a half of thinking about it.
So
I want Oakland to win three of four.
Okay.
I want Oakland to win three of four. Go take three of four of these guys.
So not a sweep.
Yeah, I mean, heck, go take all four of them.
You want Oakland to sweep.
But ideal would be three out of four. So Oakland doesn't get silly here and go 14 games above 500
right.
either and start to really feel good and Billy Bean spin some magic and find another arm or do something crazy. So ideal would be Oakland takes three of four. Because if you can't beat Oakland in the second half of the season for a wild card spot, then you really weren't deserving of the playoffs.
If Oakland wins three of four and you lose two out of three in Anaheim, which is not a crazy to think about, you're four games up?
Sure.
That's a ball game.
Sure.
I mean, like, now that's a save situation, essentially.
Yeah, but the Houston Astros are the defending World Series champs. The Houston Astros have a pitching staff that's the envy of everybody. The Houston Astros have a tremendous team.
But then if that's the case, if you really, truly feel that way, wouldn't you rather see Houston just kind of cruise to it?
No, not really. I'd want to put a little pressure on them. I would want to climb closer. You're going to win two out of three, and then I want to be within a game and a half or so at the All-Star break of those Astros and say, we're not going anywhere 95, 100 games into this season. And you know what? We got Paxton, and we got All-Stars, and we got guys, and we got $7 million to spend and continue to go after those guys.
All right, I'll give you my answer, and we'll take some of these calls here as well. But I wanted to kind of go around the room a little bit and see what everybody else is thinking. How would you like to see this series play out between Houston and Oakland? They play four times starting tonight. Lydia, Kyle, Howdy, do you have any thoughts? How would you like to see this series play out? I know you've been thinking about it. What would you like to see have happen between Houston and Oakland?
I would like for Houston to get swept.
You want Oakland to win four games?
Yep, win them out. They're not a real threat. They're a sham.
If you're worried about Oakland, Mike, and you can't take care of business against Oakland in the second half, that's on you. That's on you. That is not Houston. Okay, that is not a complete team. They've got some nice pieces. Billy Bean is a smart guy. He's got an immensely tiny payroll that he gets the most out of. And Bob Melvin's an excellent manager. But if you can't take care of Oakland in the second half, you're not deserving of the playoffs.
Wow. Kyle, what do you want to see have happen?
I want the Astros to sweep the A's. Call me a defeatist. Like, I'm playing for a wild card, and I want the A's out of my sight so fast. They can go the way of the Angels. Bye-bye.
Yeah, say goodbye. We don't need to see you anymore. Lydia, what would you like to see here? You're an interesting one because you're a very positive person. You've got to root for one of these teams. You have to be excited about one score or another. What do you want to have happen in the series?
I'm with Howdy. I'm rooting for the A's to sweep the
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
She's got so much confidence in the Mariners.
Let's go.
Brimming with confidence when it comes to the Mariners.
We don't need to settle for a wild card.
Wow. All right. So Lydia wants an A's sweep. Howdy wants an A's sweep. Kyle wants an Astros sweep.
I want three of four.
You want three of four for the A's.
Yes.
What's the point of that?
Four.
Yes, three of four.
Geez, talk about lukewarm.
Yeah, but you got I understand where Brock's coming from on three of four. Quite frankly, I think splitting two and two might be the best scenario.
That's two lukewarm. And two is better than three of four.
I don't want any part of these lukewarm teams, man. I don't want any of them.
Nothing.
I want to keep the division in sight, and I want Oakland in the rearview mirror all at the same time.
Is brilliant. Sorry. Okay? You'll have the next 90 minutes to think about that brilliance.
I either want a split or I want Houston to win 3 of 4. I don't want the A's to win 3 games or even or 4. Obviously.
I know that you would be on that side of it. A little nervous, Nelly.
I am a nervous Nelly.
You're afraid. You're afraid you were afraid of the Cardinals.
Yes,
you're
I am naturally afraid. I want it to be easy. I know it's not going to be, and yet I want it to be easy. Is there any chance this team will make it easy? 0.0. You know the last week of the season is going to matter somehow, some way.
And you know what? I can say at these AAU tournaments, I want a really tough game. You know what? I don't like these blowouts. I want a really tough game, but then you know what? It's kind of
crazy.
Blow people out.
Gosh, yeah. There's not enough Tums in the world for me to handle Oakland winning 4 and like turning this into a race for the second wild card. No, thank you.
Don't be nervous. They're trash. They're a garbage team.
I don't think they are, Howdy. You really think they're a garbage team?
Yeah, they're a garbage team. They have 2 hitters. One of them is an all or nothing power hitter.
Yeah, but he destroys you. I mean, like more than anything, he's Mike Trout against the Mariners. Lowry is having a ridiculously good season. And if you don't score in the first 7 innings, good luck. I mean, those two guys at the end, Trevino and Trinan, have just been unbelievable. So, look, you're right. They're not a great team. I think the Mariners are a better, more complete team than Oakland
is. We own the A's.
But they're not a trash team, are they?
They're garbage. They are really bad.
That stadium's a sewage infested
dump. Their pitching is actually pretty good. Yeah, it has been pretty good.
I remember saying this about the A's long time ago. Like, who is this team? Miguel Tejada. I've never even heard of this guy. Yeah, it turns out they were Eric Chavez. Like, who are these guys? Turned out they were pretty good. I don't know if this is the same as that team, but I'm not going to sleep on them either. Zach is in Tacoma. Good morning, Zach.
Hey, what's going on,
Zach? What do you want to see? The Houston takes on Oakland. Well, who are you rooting for?
I'm rooting for a Houston sweep. Plain and simple.
You don't want any part of Oakland.
No, I mean, I might be a little more touchy feely and less of a Memphis guy here. So hear me out. I want the Mariners to be focused on one opponent, first of all. Houston has been playing out of their minds, and I'm sort of hedging my bet that that can't continue forever. Now, if it does, they deserve to win the division, plain and simple. But if they falter a little bit and the Mariners can just stay consistent, this is going to be a race in the end, and if they can focus on one opponent, I think they'll be better off.
I tend to agree with you. I mean, I don't know if I need a full sweep. I mean, I think I'd like to see 3-1 or something like that. But I tend to agree on the focusing on one opponent and sort of hoping and waiting. Because Houston's going to need to slip up in order for you to get there.
I mean, the beauty of this question a little bit is it poses a much bigger question. Do you think that the Mariners can compete with Houston in the second half?
Yes. I think they can. But I think it's going to be a challenge. I think Houston's one of the better teams assembled. I've said that from day one of this year. It's not to say the Mariners can't catch them. I'll be rooting for them to do so. But they have a ridiculous starting rotation, an incredibly good bullpen, and a fantastic lineup that adds good defense and speed. Like, they're like nearly a perfectly assembled baseball team.
Yeah, and they're 61-31, just a game behind Boston for the best record in all of baseball. They've had, you know, a couple lulls. They, I guess, lost 3 out of 4 down in Tampa just a weekend ago or so. But do you want the Mariners this year to approach the next 70 games and just say that wild card is our end-all be-all?
No, but this has nothing to do with the Mariners. Like, I want the Mariners need to go out and win games and go for the division, etc. But in the meantime, I would like to see Oakland go away. I felt so much better when the Mariners had a 10-game lead in the wild card instead of 6.5. And if Oakland were to win 4, I mean, they're going to pick up at the very, even if you sweep, they'll pick up a half game on you and get to 6. And now each one of those games against the Angels, for each one you lose, you're a game closer to Oakland. 4 or 5 game lead in the wild card is nothing. I mean, that thing evaporates like that. So I don't want to say that. Sorry. I'm not up for that. I don't have the stomach for it. 206-421-3776. Let's grab Brian, who is in Bellevue. Brian, Oakland plays Houston. How do you want to see that go down?
Good morning, guys. A 2-2 split. Are the games in Houston or Oakland?
They're in Houston.
Okay, so we can't have a 3-hour rain delay?
No.
Game. That sucks.
There'll be no rain delays.
15 innings per game, 2-game split.
Just wear them both down.
Yeah. I mean, we're not catching Houston. I hate to be the bearer of that news.
Well, then wouldn't you want to see Houston sweep them?
No, I don't want them to win 120 games. That would be boring. Let's keep Houston close enough that the casual fan thinks we have a chance, but definitely we do not want Oakland anyway. Think of the momentum Oakland would feel going into Houston and
right.
Three out of four sweeping.
Yeah, all of a sudden, this team that Howdy calls trash would have quite a bit of confidence at that point.
So, Brian, do you you enjoy Jeff Passan with us every other Tuesday?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
He's up your alley.
Yeah. I assume there'd be a follow-up question.
Not at all. No, I was just curious.
Thanks for the phone call.
Brian and Bellevue.
There's nothing wrong with trash, all right? Like, I found a lot of value in trash in the past. But in this situation, trash is not going to get you to the playoffs, Oakland A's. You're not getting there.
Run differential. Don't look at the standings. Did you already look at the standings to see this?
No.
Run differential. Where's Oakland and Seattle?
Seattle's at 25.
Nope, Seattle's at plus 17 now. Run differential had kind of a tough weekend with
Colorado. True. Yes. All right, Mariners are at 17, Oakland's at like 13.
Yeah, Oakland's 17.
Yeah, they're even.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, dead even when it comes to that. A very important run differential that sets the table for all the sabermetricians out there.
I don't know, Howdy. You keep calling them trash. They're certainly not playing like trash. They're certainly better than the teams in the league this year that are trash.
Are they benefiting, though, from significant trash?
Well,
are they benefiting that there are so many bad teams, and especially in the American League?
So is everybody. The Mariners are benefiting from that. The Red Sox, all these win totals are inflated by the six teams in the American League that are not even trying to win. And Howdy, this was supposed to be a little gauntlet for Oakland. Six games against Cleveland, four against Houston, and then they're going to play the Giants home and home. Well, they came through their six against Cleveland. I believe they went 4-2 in that stretch. That's pretty good. Cleveland is not one of those joke teams. They're not incredible, but they're not a joke team. They're not one of the actual trash that's littered around the American League. Cleveland's good, and they took 4 out of 6 from Cleveland. And now you see if they were to take a few games from Houston, this is their gauntlet. There are only so many of these little gauntlets in a season in which most of the teams stink. And so after this, they get back to playing all the rest of the dregs of the American League again.
They play a lot of good teams the rest of the way. They have feasted so far on the bad teams, and they're in a little hot stretch. They're relying on young starting pitching that's going to fall apart in the end of the season like it always does.
True, although, you know, the Mariners have some of those same issues.
They do.
That's why they're going to trade for guys. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Why are you so worried all the time? Don't be so worried.
I'm not worried. I feel great about the Mariners. I'll feel better when the A's, you know, go away. 206-421-3776. How about Mike, who's in Edmonds? What's up, Mike?
Good morning, guys.
Oh, Mike, great to hear your voice. Thanks for calling.
Well, I have 1.5 comments. I guess my first comment is if Tampa can whoop up on Houston, so can we. And God darn it, you know, I really want to go for Houston. I think you can get caught up in the looking over your shoulder at who's coming up on you thing, but why not go for the first place team and take your best shot at them? But my real desire is to have this 4 games played in Houston, in Oakland, and have both teams come down with a serious case of staph.
Yes,
staph infection.
Yes.
Well, they'll get to Oakland eventually. I promise. I mean, they're going to play all these times against each other. Staph infection. I hadn't considered that as a possibility here.
Yeah, you got a sewage infested stadium.
Oakland.
Oh, very much so, Mike.
Yeah,
thank
appreciate
you.
That, Mike.
Gall darn it.
Good phone call.
Gall darn it.
Gall darn it. He went.
Boy, howdy. Gall darn it. I kind of like that.
How did you feel about that, Howdy? You love the gall darn it.
Gall darn. Great call.
It's right up your alley.
I'll tell you this: you look at Oakland a little bit, and there are some things that with Oakland that do parallel a little bit of what the Mariners are trying to do. They've got tremendous back end of their bullpen. They've got some young players that have emerged. And do you realize that little third baseman a year ago, Matt Chapman, a guy that really, really struggled to hit, is now got an offensive war over 2? That little third baseman, Matt Chapman's turned into a nice player. Jed Lowry's having a career. Chris Davis, even missing time, has got 21 home runs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 10 games over 500 for a reason.
And at the end of the game, they've shortened the game. They've done what a lot of teams are doing out there, which is in the 8th and 9th inning, they are lights out with Trevino and then Drinan. So, and look, you can do that too. I mean, what's interesting about the Mariners is that I was looking at the A's. They have two pitchers in Drinan and Trevino who both have ERAs under 1.5. and whips under 1.
Mm.
The Mariners have those two pitchers also, except oddly one of them doesn't pitch the 8th inning. That's Pazos, who has more been in the 6th and 7th, depending on where they need him. I liked what they've done with him. I don't know that he needs to be pitching the 8th. I like him in sort of the, hey, we need you here, put out the fire roll, and then you kind of allow somebody else, and maybe it's going to end up being Colome here to pitch the 8th. But I kind of like what they've done with Pazos and using him in the big spots.
Are you a little bit with Brian and Bellevue, though, that the Houston is just untrackable? You're just not going to track them down?
A little bit. I don't like saying it out loud, but
Yeah, look, dude.
Because it feels defeatist.
They're really good. But it's not. It's honestly just looking at how good that team is.
The A's also have three of their five starters are currently on the DL now. And one of them will not be back till mid-August. So
But they've almost been better with the group of guys that have come up and sort of taken their place, right? I mean, they've just continued to play really well. Look, Brock, I would love for Houston to be an attainable goal. And I think the Mariners should. And if I'm Jerry DePoto, I'm not thinking this way. But as just a realistic human being watching all these games and looking at the lineups, do you see anybody hanging with Houston long term?
I mean, Boston and New York. I mean, those two teams, you saw them, and especially in their buildings, they're going to be a handful. So, yeah, those are the teams that we've talked about all year long, 90 games in, that are the most complete and stand at the top of their standings.
I think the Astros are better than those two teams. Their record may not say it right now.
Have a little bit more speed.
Maybe I've been listening to Astros rants guy tell me that they're the best team in baseball too often, but I believe it. I think they are the best team in baseball. I think they're one of the best rosters I've seen constructed in my lifetime.
I think there could be an interesting argument. I don't know if one of these callers is going to make it, that you say, no, I kind of want Houston and Oakland to both just split here.
That's what I want.
And all of a sudden, maybe Oakland or Houston doesn't need to add, and they feel really good about themselves, and they don't need to add, and maybe you're going to add a little piece, and they're going
to
sit on
their
hands.
They don't need to add? When's the last time you heard of a team say, we don't need to add? Get out of here. 206-421-3776. Tom is in Bellevue. Tom, what do you want to see go down this weekend?
Want to see Oakland sweep, and here's why.
Really?
We're 6.5 in front of Oakland, correct?
Yep. Yep.
And 3.5 behind Houston.
You got it.
So we're off tonight. Oakland wins. We're 6 ahead of them, 3 behind Houston. Oakland sweeps. We win our next 3 games. We're even with Houston. We're still 6 ahead of Oakland going into the All-Star break.
That's good math right there. Appreciate that.
All right. I mean, that's true. You're obviously, assuming a sweep on the road in Anaheim.
Right.
It's a tough thing to do. I mean, assume you even just win the series. Now, all of a sudden, it's a 5-game lead on Oakland. I don't know. That's awfully close for comfort, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to at least see Houston win one?
No, I'm going to stand by what I said with Lydia and Boy Howdy right there beside me, that if you're sitting here worried about Oakland,
wow,
and you think that the way that Oakland is constructed, and you look at Oakland's talent, Oakland's payroll, Oakland's foundation, and where they're built right now, and you cannot beat them in the second half, and you control your own destiny, play them 10 more times. If you can't control your own destiny and beat Oakland, in the second half of this season, you're not a playoff team. You're just not worthy of that.
I don't think that way.
I do.
I want to see the other teams falter just as much as I want to see my own team win. I want to see them falter. I want this thing to be easy. The Mariners have made nothing easy.
No.
They can't even make a normal game easy.
No.
This team's up 5-1, and they find a way to make it challenging. Every single game, game in, game out, it's always harder than you would think it needs to be. 206-421-3776. Oakland and Houston. Steve in Tacoma, what do you want to see?
I want to see Houston just get rid of the athletics. I want Houston to just sweep the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is very split, and it doesn't surprise me in our market right now. This is going to be very split, and I think this conversation continues, and I hope the Mariners continue to make it as fascinating and stay right within arm's length of Houston. Right, stay there 2, 3, 4 games, keep winning series, keep finding a way to keep it interesting, maybe make a move in the next 10 to 15 days and add another arm, maybe add another reliever, and stay right there in arm's length, and there's going to be a lot of fans that say, go for them. Go get those guys. We're playing for the division. I don't care about 17 years and everything else and just getting in the play. Nope, I want it all. And I think you're going to have another side, that you probably sit on that camp just a little bit, and that is, and certainly Kyle. No. Just get to the playoffs.
Look, I want it all too. I mean, you can kind of do both at once. I want it all, but I'm also realistic at how good Houston is and trying to imagine what's going to happen here down the stretch, and I want just a little bit of cushion. Yeah, okay, let Houston win and let them get 3, 4, 5 games up, but okay, whatever. You try and track them down over the course of the rest of the season. I don't need somebody nipping at your heels the whole way trying to pressure you. And I would love, more than anything, I'd love for Oakland to quit. I mean, that's the other thing you kind of bring up. You say you got all these games left against Oakland in the second half of the year. Wouldn't they be nicer if they traded some of these guys? It's not unheard of for Oakland to deal any of them. They could deal Trinan, who would have great value. They could deal Jed Lowry, who would have great value. They could deal Chris Davis. I mean, look, Oakland, I heard Marcana's name brought up as a possibility in Boston. I mean, like, if Oakland gets swept away, both the A's and the Angels could quit and sell at the deadline, and now you're legitimately just kind of the last team left.
At any point in your world, and I'm with you many times in these conversations, so I'm not acting like, you know, I'm on the other side of this all the time, but is there ever come a point in a baseball season with your franchise, with your team, where you're like, it's about us? That it really does not matter what's going on in the windshield or the rearview mirror, that if you just do you and you just play Mariners ball, that you really just don't concern yourself,
not
especially
really.
With the rearview mirror.
No.
No?
No, I didn't grow up that way. I'm sorry. You know, we talked about the 25 guys, 25 cabs, and your team finding spectacular ways to blow things.
Yeah.
That's the atmosphere I grew up in,
well,
too,
there's
man.
A lot of kids that are, you know, 15 to 18
they
years
grew up
age.
The same way.
They grew up the same way here.
They get in, and then let's worry about it later. And in the meantime, if Oakland were to just sort of walk themselves right on out of contention and sell, that would be just fine with me. So we'll wait and see. I mean, again, obviously you have no control over it. The
nope.
Mariners don't even have any control over
it. We'll
be
scoreboard watching tonight.
I will be. I'll be paying attention. God, it's so frustrating scoreboard watching right now. Every night, every good team wins.
Correct.
You're just like the pressure that it has put on the good teams to stay with them.
Yep.
Oakland, Boston, New York, Houston, they win every single night. Yep. It's really pretty amazing. You know, Houston or Oakland was down 3-0 over the weekend. No problem. They just come right back against Cleveland, win it 6-3. Just really frustrating. All right, Brock, Gene Segura is in the final vote. So there are five players from the American League who are up for the final vote to get into the All-Star game. The Mariners are making a big push. Hashtag send Segura. Is this a message to Scott Brosius at third? Like, send him.
Oh.
Send him all in.
Oh.
Send him in. The final vote ends Wednesday at 1 o'clock, so there's not a lot of time. You vote at mariners.com/vote. You can vote as many times as you want. And the Mariners are, let's just say, incentivizing people. So there are sweepstakes for votes. You're immediately entered into the sweepstakes, which include two front row Diamond Club tickets to the M's and Giants on Wednesday, July 25th, a Gene Segura autographed jersey, photo with Gene on the field. You can hang with Gene and hang out with his small arms. Any fan that votes for Gene Segura will have an opportunity to buy 2-for-1 tickets on July 31st, Mariners-Astros, obviously going to be a huge game for the division. Main club and view level seats are available for that four-ticket limit, but they'll email you a code. So there's a whole bunch of different cool things that come your way just for voting for Gene, which you should want to do anyway.
We are stuffing the ballot box back.
Really?
Lydia, I'm looking right now. Cole, the intern, has been instructed that he needs to be voting 1,000 times during the show.
If you have interns in your office around Seattle, don't you think that's something that you should be instructing your interns to do? That seems like the least you could do.
Yep.
Like if you're a high-powered lawyer, you run a business or whatever, and you don't have time, you're a busy person, the least you could do is make your worthless intern do it over and over
again. It's a great life lesson. If you want something, you need to vote for it.
That's
so
true.
You know what? It's not just like, you know, remedial work. It's life lessons.
And I know we're dealing with big markets.
We're builders of men.
We're dealing with big markets with lots of population. L.A., Boston, New York, a lot of smart people. But don't you kind of feel like if there's the smartest people in the IT world that can kind of, I'm not saying
you want them to game the system.
I'm not saying
game the system.
Right.
I'm not saying bots or algorithms or whatever you can do behind the scenes. Don't you kind of feel like this market could have the creative type to do it?
I mean, you would certainly hope so. Get somebody on the horn with Russia. Let's work this thing out. All right. Coming up next, we'll see what happens with Gene Segura, obviously. Hashtag send Segura. Go vote at mariners.com/vote. We will check in on that race. We have some inside dirt on how it's going and talk a little bit more about these All-Stars next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
I just go home and I get one to the next day to come here and play baseball because now my love for the game came back. You know, it came back, even if, you know, I'm 0-4 or 0-20, I still kind of feel love for the game.
That's the hitting machine himself, Sen Segura. You got to go vote for him for the All-Star Game, mariners.com/vote. A few notes on Segura, Brock. He is second in the major league in hits, third in batting average, 37 multi-hit games are tied for the major league lead. He leads the majors with 15 games of at least three hits. He's batting .330, 61 runs scored, 24 doubles, 2 triples, 7 homers, 47 driven in, 17 walks, which is a lot for him, 14 stolen bases, and a .358 on-base percentage in 84 games. Among the American League leaders, he is second in hits, third in average, eighth in runs scored, 10th in stolen bases, 11th in doubles, 14th in on-base percentage. Like, he's been an all-star once before in 2013. Those are the numbers of an all-star, and, you know, more than anything, it'd be nice to sort of just show Boston, New York, LA that you can compete with them on this thing a little bit.
Yeah, the problem is Francisco Lindor, Manny Machado, Didi Gregorius. If you're gonna play one position,
I know
Xander Bogaerts,
but he beat out a lot of those guys for this.
League. He did.
He beat out Gregorius. He beat out is Lindor on the team? I forget. But Angelton Simmons is also in this category.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's not as simple as that. I mean, he's put up numbers that are absolutely deserving. So voting going on all around the country. The challenge, of course, is that you're also going up against L.A. and Angelton Simmons. You're going up against Boston and Andrew Benintendi. Going up against New York, of course, with Giancarlo Stanton. And then Minneapolis, Minnesota with Eddie Rosario. So we have done a little research into what the voting looks like. You watch CNN or NBC or whatever around election time. You know, John King and Chuck Todd, they get their little video board, their touchscreen board.
Oh, they
like,
own that.
Let's go to Miami-Dade. Checking in on Miami-Dade. 37% reporting. 37. Going to have another 50% coming in from here. Going to wait for. So you know what that sounds like.
Let's go out to Clallam County or Kitsap County or Snohomish County or Pierce County.
We asked Boy Howdy to do some of the research and see how the voting is going. And right now we'll start in Minnesota to see what they're doing there, whether they're doing a push for Eddie Rosario.
Yes, Michael, early voting is coming in hot. We've got about 3% of the vote in nationally, but we have some early indicators in some key counties. Let's zoom into one of the key swing areas. This is Carver County in Minnesota, a very twin-centric spot. Nearly 100% for Eddie Rosario so far.
Wow.
But the voter turnout with just 7% of the vote is incredibly low. We're seeing similar results in Hennepin and Anoka counties. Not looking good for Rosario, Mike.
It's a challenge. All right, so Rosario, does anybody think he's got a shot to win this thing?
I hope not.
He might even have less of a shot than Gene Segura does. What's it look like in Boston, Howdy?
Now we're going to scroll our map over to the counties surrounding Boston. Worcester and Essex are coming in very strong for Andrew Benintendi, but we're seeing heavy signs of bandwagoning in Franklin and Norfolk County. Mm. This is a trend we've been seeing for over a decade now. Thousands of quote-unquote fans who don't know any of the players, but see a logo and claim their fandom.
Worcester.
Good news for Benintendi.
Worcester County, not Worcester. It's Worcester. All right.
Cooper, Cupper, whatever.
All right.
Okay.
Los Angeles looking for Angelton Simmons. I mean, that's a weird demo.
Heading over to Los Angeles, the ballot box has been open for hours, and yet we're still not seeing a single vote for Angelton Simmons. Now, L.A. has had this problem before, specifically in Orange and Ventura counties. These regions typically seem to be so focused on their celebrities that they tend not to actually do anything. We've gotten some reports of write-in votes for LeBron James, which obviously count for nothing, but it does give you an indication of what really matters in this region right now.
Wow. All right, there you go. All right, well, that's a good look around. We'll check New York and a little bit later here and see what things look, and in Seattle as well. We'll check those in a couple of minutes. Who do you find yourself most happy for today? I mean, you got Haniger, Cruz, and Diaz all named to the All-Star game. Who did you find yourself most happy for?
Diaz. I mean, Diaz is why the Mariners are where they are. I've called them the most valuable player. It's certainly not Eddie Diaz's team. It's impossible when you're the closer, as young as he is. But they're in the position they are, sitting where they sit, atop the wild cards or the second wild card, and running away from that with Oakland and Anaheim. And just 3.5 back of Houston because of one guy, in my opinion, that's Eddie Diaz. And to see him, I think, get the credit from his peers. And Jeff Passan may still point to others being better, and maybe some of the numbers sabermetrically are better for Rawls Chapman or some of these other guys, whip and strikeouts and inning, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No one's been used more. No one has been more effective, and no one has led their team from the back end the way that Eddie Diaz has. So I was most excited for him.
But he shouldn't pitch in the game, right?
No, there's no way.
Like, if A.J. Hinch uses him in the game, I cry foul, right? Like, he's just trying to get that guy to blow out his arm.
There's no way he should pitch. He's been the most used pitcher. He's on a historic rate. If MLB did not come in, unfortunately, in the old world baseball deal in the WBC and help the Mariners in any way, they better do so in this turn.
I was really happy for Mitch Haniger. I was surprised probably of the three of them the most by that. Just because, look, since he's been in the three spot, we've sort of seen a little more inconsistency from him. But I think at the end of the day, you know, he gets voted in by the players. And what is it that players tend to respect? Runs driven in, man. They like the guys who produce runs. They know how hard it is to drive in runners when they're on base. Heck, you saw it yesterday, twice with runner on third, nobody out, and the Mariners couldn't get that guy in. There is a skill to driving in runs, and Haniger is second in the league in doing so.
And there is also, in the baseball world, I think he would, if the baseball world is still full of a lot of Ian Kinslers, which it is, and a lot of grinders, I think a baseball community and those players and some of his peers are going to say, that guy posts. I know he's got a bruised knee the other day, and he missed a game or two, and man, you felt the absence of him. I mean, that's a AAA-esque lineup Friday night. No D. Gordon, no Mitch Haniger, no Mike Zunino. It just felt lean. And that guy got grinds, and he's made highlight plays out in right field. He's a difference maker there. He's a difference driving the ball in. And, yeah, the numbers don't lie, and that's why he's a part of it.
How about Nelson Cruz? I mean, I find myself probably most happy for Nelly of any of them. He deserves these honors. And he kind of got forgotten about because he didn't start off having his typical great year. He got hurt a little bit. But you know,
downstairs.
But you look up, and he's right there in the league leaders in home runs. He's still the most fearsome bat in this lineup. When he goes cold for three games, didn't have a hit in the Colorado series, they are not the same offense or even close to it. And I just like that Nelson gets that much of respect from his peers. I think he deserves that.
Still intimidating. I think
at
I do
37,
a little.
37, that's no joke.
Yep, a little thumbnail on each of these guys, just a little wordplay. It's about intimidation, I think, when it comes to Cruz. It's about being unbelievably overwhelming for Nedy Diaz. And for Haniger, you just can't deny it.
Yeah.
Just undeniable offensive production this year. And when your team is winning, I mean, this is not the side you've been on. You haven't been 23, 24 games above 500. You haven't been the talk of some of baseball with all these close wins and all the culture and everything and all the highlights that these people are seeing. And when your team is winning, you're more deserving. You find ways to get guys in. And now whether Paxton and Segura get in, Segura on this vote, or if Paxton's a call by the manager and others because of injuries and other people ducking out of it, I would not mind.
I was pretty surprised Paxton didn't get in. I mean, going into it, I think the common belief was that the Mariners would have two All-Stars, Diaz and Paxton. I don't think people saw the Cruz thing coming. Haniger, I don't think the expectation was he'd get in. Segura, I think, makes sense as a final vote candidate, but I was pretty surprised not to see Paxton.
When Blake Snell didn't get in.
I know, he didn't get in either. It's a crowded field.
How is that possible? How is the best pitcher going in the American League right now by just about every single metric, in ERA included? I think it's the first time I was reading somewhere in forever that somebody who's led the first half of baseball in ERA is not in the American League All-Star game. That's just, you're just outthinking the room. Or you voted too early, as Chris Archer said, and good for him. And much like some of the Mariners teammates have pushed for Gene, and we can get to Gene in a second here, so did Chris Archer down in Tampa.
Yeah, I would think Snell's going to get in. I mean, a bunch of these guys pitch here in the next right beforehand, and so Snell will probably get in. Decent chance Paxton gets in. Charlie Morton's another guy who's deserving. So we'll see how it goes. Just because you're not in today doesn't mean you're not going to end up getting in, especially as a pitcher. Just too many options for there's really good pitching in the American League, especially at the top end of that. Let's get back to the voting. What's going on in New York around there, Howdy? What are we seeing?
Now let's shift our focus over to the epicenter of voting activity in this early period. New York counties are coming out in droves in this early period. With just 8% of the anticipated voter turnout, Giancarlo Stanton is leading all vote-getters with enormous numbers in Kings, Bronx, and Suffolk counties. Now let's spin over to Boca Raton in Florida, more commonly known as Old York, due to the number of old, decrepit Yankee fans who have infested the region. And they have been assembling in large numbers, shouting Stanton's name at what they believe is the Yankee consulate, which is actually just a deli. Now, none of this activity is counted as voting, but it is indicative of the intellect level of the voter base the Yankees are dealing with.
Right. Dumb people, man, Yankees fans, but there are a lot of them. That's the problem.
Sure.
How do you counteract that? What does the voting look like here in Seattle?
Mike, we're looking at an interesting case here. Analysts have made it clear that Gene Segura is statistically the best candidate for this All-Star. But there has been such a groundswell of support for the big-name candidate in Giancarlo Stanton. We've seen widespread support from across the state of Washington, big early numbers from Cowlitz County. We're told that Snohomish County is experiencing huge numbers, potentially planning a parade in the event of a Segura win. Wow. This is one of the first votes we've seen that has united Spokane County and King County. Mm. If these results keep up, we could be seeing a new era of cooperation between the two sides of the states. We're calling this state for Segura already with just 2% of the vote in. We're expecting that this could be the key swing state in the national vote.
2%? Wow. I mean, get out there and vote, guys. You can do it as many times as you want. Lydia is responsible for one of those percentage points by herself.
Sure is.
All right. Mariners.com.
Call the intern the other.
Mariners.com/vote. That's how you send Segura to the All-Star Game. All right, let's see. Coming up here at 9 o'clock, we're going to bang through a bunch of baseball topics and where this team is at, some of their offense, what they plan to do here in the next couple of weeks before the trade deadline. Before we do it, good news, bad news, no news, including a surprise retirement. Next on Brock and Salk.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
Plus, there's some Mariner issues and thoughts as they get ready for the trade deadline here just a couple weeks away. We'll do that coming up in 15, right after the news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Mariners signed general manager Jerry Dipoto to a multi-year contract extension.
That is good news. There's no other way to look at that. That is good news. It is something to be, I think, fair that Salky brought up ahead of anybody else. I didn't hear anybody talking about that into May and in early June. And good to see it happening for Jerry. It was not what I would have anticipated. We saw him in March. I said that to begin the show. You know, when we were down there in spring training, it was Scott that was upbeat. He was positive. He was really liking his team. It was Jerry that I think was still reeling in disappointment with Shohei Ohtani, not being able to go out and get that done, the top move of the offseason. But, man, they put that in the rearview mirror. It has been a ton of success, especially with their pitching. Kudos to Jerry.
Did you see what Shohei did yesterday? A little pinch hit home run for the win. Yeah, no biggie. Obviously, this, I think, is good news. And it's good to have stability in an organization. The best news is that Jerry has deserved this. That what he's done in the course of his 2.5 years here, he's earned it. And I think that's really, really good news that the Mariners have themselves in position to sign their GM. So, good news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Robinson Cano held his first interview since his suspension.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It was just with the writers, typical baseball, right? Only writers get anything, and everybody else is a second-class citizen in baseball. That's just the way they handle the media.
Was Dutton there?
I'm going to assume the BBWA organized this and banned anybody from taking video or audio from the event, but I'm glad to see that's the case. I don't care that much. I don't really need the apology, this, that, and the other. What I want to see is Robinson Cano back in the lineup. You're 29 games away from that happening, and I miss his bat, and I want to see it.
I thought it was good news. I thought it was a good first step. I was a little disappointed that, yeah, there wasn't some of the video, there wasn't audio for us to play, that it was limited in that way to just the writers. To me, that's bad news. That doesn't make a lot of sense. But I heard a whole lot more of we and team and Mariners than I did I. It wasn't about I am sorry for this and I am that, and it was a lot of this team and not want to get in the way of what this team is doing. And I know they're just words, and actions are going to speak so much louder when he comes back in August and September, and his willingness to do whatever it's going to take for the team, whether that's in the lineup, where it's in the lineup, what position in the lineup, all of that will resonate so much more than those words, but it was a good first
step. He's been there, too. I mean, anybody who thinks he's going to come in and screw up the chemistry, he's there every day. I mean, it's not like he hasn't been there. He's been there literally every day. We just don't get a chance to see him. He's not there for the games.
Yep.
But he's around his teammates.
He hasn't been part of a home run communion yet.
That's true. What if he screws that up?
Yeah, it's possible.
Worth wondering. Fair point.
Good news, bad news, no
news.
He
might actually hit a few of those home runs, you know.
Might inspire the communion. Edwin Diaz, Mitch Haniger, and Nelson Cruz were named All-Stars. Gene Segura made the final vote.
Yeah, I think this is about right, as I look at that list. You know, Paxton, I was looking at some of the numbers. 19 starts, 5 of those have gone 5 innings or less. And unfortunately, a few of them have been in the last week or the last couple weeks of this stretch. Started a little bit slow, then was absolutely on fire, the best pitcher going in stretches of May and June, and he's had a couple little rough spots in a pitching rotation in the American League that is just flat-out dominant. Not terribly surprised he didn't make it, and Segura is just unfortunately at the worst position he could possibly be. If he was at third base or first base, he's an All-Star, and there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, good news that the All-Star game will be fun, getting a chance to watch a bunch of our guys there and root for them and hear them talked about and discussed on the national stage. Long-term, you know how I feel. I generally don't like to see my players make the All-Star team because it makes them more expensive. It makes them more it's best rested. I mean, like, there's no real upside, but whatever. It's good news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Mariners and Rainiers catcher Mike Marjama retired from baseball to take a job with the National Eating Disorder Association.
Yeah, this is a really odd story that I was certainly not expecting to read. He's how old? 27 years old? 29? I mean, he's still in his 20s. I was definitely surprised to see a guy retire.
He's 28.
He is blocked at the major league level where the Mariners have three catchers ahead of him, but you see how quickly that can change. I mean, right now, he would be an injury away from being called up to replace either Freitas or Hermann. So, I don't know. He's not that far away from the big leagues. I guess that sort of, and he acquitted himself okay when he did make the big leagues.
Yeah.
I think what he's doing is great. I'm glad he's going to do something that's as important to him as the National Eating Disorder Association. And his story is that, you know, he had an eating disorder and it's an important part of his life. But I was still a little surprised to see a 28-year-old retire from baseball.
Yeah, I'm going to say ultimately good news. This is what he is most passionate about. That clearly this is what he feels called to do. And it's not to continue to grind and grind and grind. And there's those guys that do it. And there's amazing stories of guys that will spend 5, 10, 15 years in the minor leagues before they ever get their chance in the bigs. That's not his story. His story is, you know, much different than that. And in his mind, much bigger than that. And it's going to be tackling and working with the National Eating Disorder Association. How can I possibly say anything but good news?
Yeah, it is, except that I don't know. I sound like a jerk, but there's only so many people blessed with the ability to play at that level. He's been a major leaguer, and he's got a chance to get back to the major leagues.
And I know that sentiment. Let them kick you out, right? So many that want to be in it. Let them kick you out.
The National Eating Disorder Association isn't going anywhere. You only have so many years that you are capable of attempting to play in Major League Baseball.
But if he's more passionate for that than he is pursuing the baseball, then he's going to make that choice.
Good news, bad news, no news.
8 of 13 members of the Thai soccer team that was trapped in the underwater cave have been successfully rescued.
Yeah, how crazy is this? Ooh. Thank God. Man, we started talking about this on Friday, and it got dark in a hurry.
Yeah.
So what, they have 8 people out, 5 to go, including the coach. That's where they're at right now.
Yep.
I've been just sort of following on Twitter, and every little once in a while, they got somebody out, they're in a stretcher, this and that. I wonder, look, they took the healthiest people out first, but I wonder if it gets a little easier as they've done it now. Matter of degrees, just having done it and knowing where some of the tricky spots are. What an incredible story.
Unbelievable. And I can't wait to hear more about it. And we see it after the fact, and especially when the waters recede and you can kind of start to get a feel for, you know, what they're doing and what they're overcoming. It's going to be an amazing story, going to be an amazing movie, and hopefully they can all get out safely and securely and in good health.
All right, there you go. That is every day at 8:45, good news, bad news, no news. Some text messages. Salk, how many injuries away are you from a call-up? Many. I've never caught in my life. Many, many injuries away, like thousands and thousands.
That is a brutal job, too.
Of course it is.
I mean, of all of them, to go out and play and to shake balls and to pitch and to do. I mean, catchers, just they're like linemen. They just get beat up. It's just a thankless job. You look at how so many of them, we talk about Zanino's struggle, so many of them struggle offensively to do it because they're so divided with everything they got to do. And you get physically beat up, unlike a bunch of the other positions. You know, you just wear and tear.
Bunch of people saying I'm a jerk. Salky, congrats. You do sound like a jerk. Guy wants to do what makes him happy. Quit it. That's fine. Look, he can do whatever he wants, obviously.
Yeah.
But if I had Mike Marjama's ability, I would hope that I would do everything in my power to get back to the big leagues.
It might also be, I was thinking about the climate and all the things that like we've dealt with this year. Mental health has been a huge part of that. And eating disorders have the highest mortality rate of any mental illness. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if that really calls to you and
The baseball feels and the game feels at that point just trivial. And I understand a little bit, Mike, what you're saying. I had veterans saying the same thing to me, you know, when I was struggling. And I remember with my back injury, like, this is not good. And they're like, no, dude, let them kick you out. This game in this league will retire you. It does everybody. Father Time wins. Even Ichiro at 44 in the Hall of Fame one day.
And look, maybe he was about to get released and we don't know it. And this was a preemptive, hey, I get to control my own destiny. If that's the case, great. I was a little surprised. A guy who's 28 years old and a breath away from the majors seems like a surprise for him. And not that the cause isn't worthwhile. The cause is incredibly worthy. It's also just not going anywhere. And there's a lot you can do for that cause even while you're still playing.
Yeah.
It just surprised me. All right. Coming up, Brock, let's get back to the baseball and specifically where the Mariners are at. You have
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You have like 7 great baseball points.
I did?
Yes.
All right. 7 great baseball points next on Brock and Salk.